Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, oh, it's a cracker. It really is. I sit down with Adam Lazara of Taking Back Sunday and you're in for a treat. I mean, he's an absolute delight, as you are about to find out if you don't know already. And before we get on with that delightful natter, a few thank yous. Big thanks to Scroobius Pip, the podfather himself, for opening the doors to podcasting for me and supporting me by putting it on his Distraction Pieces network. So big love to Pip. Go check out the very first episode of this podcast. Over 500 episodes ago was with Mr. Scroobius Pip. You want to hear me sounding nervous? Go and listen to that episode. I mean, he's been back on a few times since, but go check that out. Big thanks to the Blue Murder Club podcast. It's the team over there that produce this podcast. Go check them out. If you like your true crime, go give it a listen. And you might even recognise some of the guests they've had on because a few of them have been on this very podcast. Biggest thanks always go to you lot for listening, supporting, loving, retweeting, sharing, liking, all the stuff that you do, all helps, and if you want to get the word out there and support this podcast, there's loads of ways in which you can do it. Let me tell you, nudge your mate and go, there's this like old guy in Essex with like a bit of a lisp, and he's a bit of a music nerd, and he loves chatting to musicians and actors and DJs and producers about records. So that's one way you can do it. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and X, as it's now called. And you can give us a follow over there. And other than that, you can subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. But the thing I want to nudge you about is my Patreon. Oh, God, he's banging on about Patreon again. Yes, I am. And I'll tell you why. Because it's cheap as chips. I'm very aware we're in we're in tough times at the moment. There's a cost of living crisis and such. So that's why, you know, if you look at most people's Patreons, it's generally sort of a tenner. Mine's a quid. And for that quid, it's not even a quid, it's a dollar. So it's less than a quid. You get access to hundreds and hundreds of radio shows. You get access to unreleased episodes. You get loads of playlists and mixtapes. You also get to watch all the episodes because I put the videos up over there. So if you like to watch your pods and see my beautiful guests and my ugly mug, you can do that over on Patreon. And the other thing is me once a month live show, which I do over Zoom. And I know a lot of you are bored of Zoom because, you know, we're not locked down anymore. But it just means that, well, you haven't got to get off your arse and venture into London to watch a live show of Off the Beaten Track. And not only do you watch it, you get involved. Because, I mean, I'm actually doing one tonight, and we're doing Essential Albums. And so you'll come along and you'll think of some records that you want to talk about, and we have a big, lovely chat. It's not a snobby thing. It's not like it was this obscure Leonard Cohen B-side. There's none of that. We just talk about funny records, things that, you know, we're slightly embarrassed about now, and we just talk about nostalgia and just the memories and emotions that are attached to records and such. And it's such a lovely little thing. It's only an hour and we do it once a month, and there's such a smashing bunch of people over there, and I'd love for more of you to come along to that. And you can find out about that at Patreon, patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack. Anything you need to know about the podcast, just head to the website, because it's a really simple one-page website, and it's just got big, colourful links to everything you need to know. And that website address is offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Also, hello, first-time listeners. How are you? You're late to this party, but that's fine. That's fine. We're a lovely bunch here. And if you've just joined for the first time to listen to today's chat with Adam, then welcome. I should say you're in for a treat for your first episode. But once you've got to the end of this episode, I'll tell you where the treat is as well. The archive. Over 500 episodes. And if you like your rock music, you can hear me talking to the Foo Fighters. You can hear me talking to Motley Crue, Enter Shikari, Papa Roach, Mastodon, Judas Priest. Gosh, what other rockers have I had on? I'm trying to think. Bloody hundreds. So go check out the archive. If you like your indie schmindy stuff, then the Killers, the Kaiser Chiefs, the Kooks. Anymore beginning with K? I'm not sure. And then also I've had the likes of Fatboy Slim, other big sort of DJ producers, Fed LeGrand I've had on. If you like your 90s stuff, then go check out my chat with Charlene Spiteri. I had a great chat with Gary Kemp of Spandau Ballet. That's available to be enjoyed. Richie Ramone, if you like your punk rock, go check out my chat with Richie Ramone. I mean, what a fella that is. We talked NoFX on this episode as well. Go check out my my episode I've done with NoFX. That's available now. There's hundreds. Just go and have a big old sort of mooch about in the archives, and they're all there to be enjoyed for free. Let's get on with the good stuff. Please enjoy today's episode of Off the Beaten Track podcast with Adam Lazara of Taking Back Sunday.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Adam, how are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm all right. It's an absolute pleasure, mate. I'm sitting in a little shed at the end of my garden, and it's absolutely chucking it down with rain. It looks amazing where you are. Where's that?
Oh, I'm on the back deck. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. The thing, it's funny because we've been, like, for the longest time, we've been in this house about 2 years, and I keep, like, okay, I need to have a space where I can be loud and do my thing, you know? And so I've been looking up, you know, like, what are my options? Because it's so expensive to build anything right now. Like, I don't even know. So, but I love how you guys, like a lot of the plans and like a lot of the resources I was, or that were coming up in my searches were from the UK. And there it's called, you guys called the garden room. So then I started searching garden room, and oh my God, it made, there was like, I feel like I spent months just like aimlessly searching different plans and ideas. But the second I typed in garden room, it's like, like the clouds opened, you know? I'm like, man, we need to start calling it that over here because it's much better and it sounds nicer.
It does. It sounds nice. All right. Well, Adam, I'm going to start your playlist off because I've been sent your tracks and I'm hyped to talk about them because you've chose some absolute crackers. And I don't think
thank you for saying that.
Oh, mate, I don't think there's any better way to start a podcast than what you've the band that you've led with here. So I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that you think has the greatest ever intro, please.
Man, when I first saw that question, there was one band that popped in my head, and that's the answer that I went with. But then I stopped and I was like, oh my God, there's so many great intros out there. Because so I think like I bypassed a great catalog of I'll just give you an example. There's Queens of the Stone Age off of Songs for the Deaf. All those intros are great. And then also Chance the Rapper has this, you don't want no problems, big fella.
Oh,
like just
great
starting
shot.
Off.
That's so I get
such a great, little intro for a song. And then, but I had to go with Rage Against the Machine. And then here I'm going to go Dealer's Choice. Cause it's, I think you would be really, I would be surprised if there was, it's been a while since I've gone through their catalog, you know, but it, to my memory, it's you can pick any song and they're all just great intros.
Do you know what? Right. I DJ in a rock club and I've done for 30 years. So I was playing it when it first come out. And they're one of them bands, Rage, that it still gets the same response now than mm-hmm. it did 30 years ago. It hasn't aged. It doesn't sound of a time. It's timeless music and it still gets that response. But what I like, I mean, if you look at Bullet in the Head or Killing in the Name, they've got them sort of bass-led intros and like, and you know it's coming.
Yeah.
And the same with Bomb Track as well. Like, it's just that, like,
oh my God, dude.
But for me, I don't know about you, but for me, the urgency of Sleep Now in the Fire, that and then when the drums drop.
Just because it's like nasty too. Like, it's like, and they're big and open. Yeah, dude. 100%. Wow. Good call. Good call.
I'm answering my own questions. What's going on?
No. Well, see, like, that wasn't even really in my brain.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking like more like Evil Empire, but then even, man, that first record, it's incredible to hear that you've had the experience of like seeing it, just over the years and like over that span of time, and how it's like still held up and still evokes that feeling from people. You know, it's not like you're putting on like, you know, like if you go on, you put on like Mamas and the Papas, and like there's some stuff that really, really aged well, but there's other stuff not so much.
Yeah.
But with that Rage stuff, can't beat it.
Absolutely. When it comes to intros, Adam, when I think back to when, you know, Rage come out and them kind of, you know, long intros like Bullet in the Head and that, of just them kind of bass notes. And seeing how, you know, back then when I first heard it, I'd go buy the record of it. And now we're seeing everything is based around Spotify playlists. Things are based around getting on TikTok. And as much as there is a resurgence of vinyl somewhat, you know, technology, it seems to be sort of taking precedent over that. And what we're seeing, certainly in more sort of commercial pop music, is these kind of songs becoming shorter and shorter, straight in with a chorus. You know, we've got to get our heads up on them Spotify playlists. We've got to stand out, and there's no patience anymore, it feels. Everything's so quick. And I just wonder, you know, from the time when you first started writing with the band to now, have any of them kind of changes in the way that people get their music filtered through into your creative process?
Man, what a good question. There's I feel that or with streaming, because that's just what everybody uses, right? And so it's so I think it's even affected us personally, just like any individual as part of the group. And I feel that it's not like a conscious thing, because there with us creatively, like when we're writing, we're not thinking like, okay, we gotta have something within the first 6 seconds that's gonna maybe catch their ear. Like, yeah, we can have this guitar part, but we also need this thing. Like, so that's not something that when we're writing that we're thinking about, but it is something that towards kind of like the, you know, like the final stages, like of tracking and recording and all that then will come up kind of towards the end of the process, you know, like, hey, like maybe there's something we could add here, like like in the beginning, you know, just something else to kind of catch it. So not at the start, but definitely at the finish, that's something that started to come up more. But it's like wild, man. Like you go, like I watch it, but I love recording. I love gear and like so like I'm constantly watching like you know, mixing tips or like just ridiculous stuff like that. Well, ridiculous to most everybody I know, other than me and like a few friends that I have that we can be all nerdy about when we talk about. So, but there was, there's, I've started to see, especially in the past like 2 years, they're like, there's a lot of emphasis being put on like, okay, you got 6 seconds, you got 5 seconds to draw them in to put. And I think at a certain point, it's like really hard to like if that just becomes the norm, you know, and like that's what you come to expect, then it's like it makes me wonder just kind of about what we were talking about earlier, how like those Rage songs still stand up, you know, like all these years later. But since there's so much emphasis now on like because of the streaming, like got to grab their attention, got to keep them, then is that kind of magic going to get lost as the immediacy and the short and kind of like patronizing the like short attention spans as that becomes more prevalent and more prominent and the norm, is the like, are we going to be missing out on like just these epic, I mean, you know, like Led Zeppelin, Rage Against the Machine, stuff like that. Like that's things, if it came out now and was trying to get like on a playlist or on a thing, like it would be really hard because people would be like, well, I don't know if 30 seconds of this mean, sick riff is going to fly. And you're sitting there thinking like, but that's what's so great
about
it.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird, isn't it? I kind of look at it as the difference between fashion and style. And I think, you know, if you've got fashion, it's going to come and go, right? But like, yeah. And people are wearing baggy jeans, skinny jeans. But ultimately, a pair of Levi's 501s are always going to just look okay. Do you know what I mean? They're always going to look good.
Yeah.
And I think style...
I'm wearing that right now.
There you go, man. Style outlive fashion every time, man. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm actually going to write that down and steal it from you.
If I hear that as an album title, I'm coming for royalties, brother.
Oh yeah. Look, I am a huge proponent for credit where credit's due. So when I do steal it, I'll be sure to reach out and let you know.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I'm going to take you back for track two, mate. And I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
So I have like a very like vivid memory of like the first song and like that, hearing it and having like an emotional reaction, like being able to like physically feel it. Like inside of my body, and it's like so my dad had this my memory of it, it was basically the size of like a transformer, you know, like took up the whole room, but it was really just the normal stereo. But it was like, and that's probably where a lot of my fascination with all this gear comes from, is because he had this crazy stereo, you know, and with all these things to tweak on it. So anyways, it was silver, and it was like the whole thing, turntable, tuner, you know, and it's like the first memory, one of the memories that sticks out in my head, and I don't think I'll ever forget it, is that is sitting in the living room with my mom and dad, and they were like getting along, liking one another. So I have like two memories of that, and this is one of them. And then, so we're sitting there, and the record we're listening to is Christopher Cross. And the song that always sticks out is Sailing. It's just beautiful. And then I think one of the reasons I find it so beautiful is because that moment and that memory is beautiful. And I've kind of carried that with me, you know, I still listen to it now, and every time I hear it, there's there's a part of me that remembers that, but you know, as you're like listening to something, like you're driving or and you get distracted, you tune in and out. But I like think the thing that stays with me is it makes me feel like I can like sit up and like breathe whatever I'm carrying off me and out, and like I feel like I don't know if safe is the right word, but like I like feel like at like peace, like I just feel like, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. And whether I'm physically in the spot where I am supposed to be or not, there's just kind of this feeling that wells up from hearing that song.
That's the beauty of music, right?
Oh my God. It's magic. It's like real, like Harry Potter shit. Like it's like real magic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you had to pinpoint at that time, the emotion itself that got you, what was that emotion?
I think it's that thing I was talking about, like it's this content, but not like content like in like a fat and happy sense, but content more of like I feel present, you know, like and like tall and strong, like because it and there's a much better way to. Maybe by the time I have a little more of this coffee, like I'll be able to access a little more of my vocabulary. it like makes me feel like I'm in the space to where I'm supposed to be, and it's safe there. And then through that, there's like the side effects, you know, like there's confidence and there's a ease and things like that. And that's what it makes me feel.
Beautiful. Where was growing up, Adam?
I grew up between Alabama, like Northern Alabama, and High Point, North Carolina.
And I mean, you've just alluded to there that, you know, your parents are playing Christopher Cross. Aside from that, was home quite a musical place?
Not really, no. There was like my dad had you know, he had the record collection. I mean, it was like Steppenwolf, Golden Earring, he loved or that Buckingham Nicks record. Which I always thought was like, should I be looking at this? Because it's like they're like naked on the front, you know. I mean, it's all shadowy, but for a kid, you know. So he had that, but there weren't a lot of times of like stuff being on in the house. And like, really, what I remember at a certain point was that, you know, like not like just like being told to turn it down all the time. So then like finding like refuge in like in headphones and things. So there wasn't a lot, but my cousin, his name's Skip, and he tattoos in Chattanooga, Tennessee, but he is one of the best guitar players that I've ever seen, like since I was like a kid. And his dad, my uncle Louie, he was the director of music at this boys school called Macaulay in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Louis Sisto. And he was like a lot of theater and like he has a very large personality, you know. And then, but with him, I could sit and listen to him play the piano all day long. I feel like he could play with not his toes but his heels and it would still sound amazing. Like he's just incredible. So it was more, I like think that those moments spending time with them was real was a huge thing for me. So I think it, not my like immediate family or like my home life, but then in those moments when we would visit see them, that was always, you know, I always kind of hang around where the piano was, like hoping he'd sit down, you know, that kind of thing. And so to answer your question, yes and no.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. So for track,
man, it's like, oh, like, sorry to interrupt you, but earlier when we started, you were saying that it was raining a lot. And then, but the thing is, when, especially right then, like when it got quiet and all that, that there's like, you can't, I couldn't hear it at all. So whatever you got going on in your garden room there, I mean, if you want to send over some tips my way, I'd be happy to recreate it over here.
Okay. As long as you call your garden room, Style Beats Fashion. All right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh yeah.
Right.
There's where you could have a sign and it's just a garden room and then under it, so be fish.
Love it. Love it. That's a deal.
Okay.
Adam, I'm gonna ask you for track three, to tell me about the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
A song that reminds me of my time at school. It's like more of kind of like a record, really, because it's like that record, NOFX, Punk and Drublic. They, the reason why it reminds me of school days is, my buddy, his name's Trip, and he had this, green Chevy Malibu, like big boat of a car. And, we would, like it had like the bench seat in the front, you know, and we had like a CD player, but you had to hold it in your hands kind of like this. So it wouldn't skip while you were driving. Yeah. And we would listen to that record, like he's who introduced me to a lot of that Fat Record stuff, and all that stuff kind of became like a soundtrack for those years. So anytime I hear, especially there's that opening song, it's Linoleum, and it like starts out with this kind of like octave that bent, and that anytime I hear that, I'm like, oh, I'm in Tripp's car again. And then like I can like smell it. I can see it, you know? And then, but there was, I like felt like I needed to also say that there's this other band called Lifetime, and my buddy, it was my friend Matt, and he let me borrow like these two CDs. And one of those was Lifetime. The record's called Hello Bastards. And that record, when I heard it, something changed in me. And then I feel like from that record on, it's like it changed the way that I heard songs and the way that I saw music, you know. So I feel like I needed to mention that, because like we were saying earlier, credit where credit's due.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you enjoy school?
You know, I have kids now, so I should say yes, just to lead by example. But no, I did not. I was at like a certain point to where I didn't graduate high school not because I, my grades, because my grade, like I was passing everything, but I missed too many days. So they couldn't, like, legally, you know, they can't pass you if you're absent so many days. I was a truant. But later though, I like went back and got, and like I did like a, you know, like a GED, which with the great Chris Rock joke, the it's the good enough diploma, or like general education. I had it in my head back then, like I was like, man, none of this interests me. I don't think I'm going to use any of this in the real world. Like, so what am I doing? And then, so I would, you know, like we were just, we like going to shows and like trying to play music and things like that. Like that was always the focus, during that time. And then now I, looking back, or because I've gone back to school once so far, and then I'd like to go again, because like now I think I would be a lot more, I'd just be a much better student, because I'd be open to it, because I, you know, like I don't know if you have this, but I have this thing, like I tend to jump the gun, and just because I'm excited. And then but I'm better at controlling that now. Yeah. So
did you know what you wanted to do when you was at school? Like, you know, was music always the goal, or was there any other things that you were thinking, yeah, you know, I'm gonna do this?
I no, like music was always the goal, but to me it was always presented as like this impossible thing, like one of those things you tell somebody, like, yeah, I want to be in a band, yeah, I want to write songs, yeah, I want to do this, and you know, the from everyone kind of the response was like, oh, that's cute, but for real, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And so it was so there was a long time to where I feel that I was just kind of floating around, like I didn't know, because like this thing that I love so much, I wasn't like looked at as like a serious profession, which now I kind of understand, because there's zero stability, like none. And that is, that's a hard thing for me personally to navigate. But just so I can kind of understand why some people were leading me to believe that it was not possible. But then like, once I got out of school, I mean, like, it's the only thing I cared about. It's like, yeah, one of the only things I think that I really still love the same, if not more, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, it's the one constant.
Okay. And you know, you said there that it feels like, you know, if you was to tell somebody you wanted to be a rock star, they'd be like, yeah, that's cute, but you know, back in the real world. But were there bands out there? I mean, you mentioned NOFX, you know, very much a sort of DIY approach to
yeah,
punk. You know, were there bands that, you know, you'd look towards and go, you know, these have done it, when I'm sure, you know, people doubted mm-hmm. them? You know, were there bands like that that were inspiring you at that point?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, 100%. Because, like, that whole world, you know, like, even, like, with Lifetime, they were on a label called Jade Tree. That was out of Delaware.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, even, like, that whole world and that scene, like, I think that's what it, like, I mean, aside from the way the like physical response that my body was having to yeah. to a lot of those songs, was that was the other thing that was helping like reinforce how appealing it was. Cause it's like, oh wait, like they didn't need like this person or like this kind of thing. They didn't need that. Like they just were like, you know what? We're going to get in a van. We're just going to figure it out. And then and I really admire that.
Yeah.
Still do. So.
Okay. Tell me the first record you remember buying, please, Adam.
So the first record I know this isn't the very first, but when you say that, it's the first thing that comes to mind is So like in the summers, I would go to Alabama and live with my grandmother. And then I like think that my dad was just worried I'd get into too much trouble when he was at work, and I had a whole day with nothing but time on my hands. So, which he was right. I definitely wouldn't. But so I spent summers with her. And when the first Foo Fighters record came out, she drove, she lived in like Deetsville, Alabama, Prattville, and to Montgomery, which was like the big city, you know, it's like a half hour away. And so she, I remember the day that record came out, she drove me into Montgomery so we could go buy that record. And yeah, I can still remember how that record smelled, like how like the insert smells, you know, because it's, I mean, like, not only did I love it, but also it was the fact that, like, of like knowing that she's going out of her way only because she knows that it's a thing that's important to me. Like, I thought like that was just really really special. So so that memory with getting that record will always be tied in with that, which now I realize that that is probably why I love that record so much too, because it has that kind of like the light kind of baggage, you know,
yeah,
that lifts you up tied to it.
It's so strange, isn't it? Because, you know, you see the global phenomena that is the Foo Fighters now, and mm-hmm. and as somebody else has said at the, you know, beginning, it's been DJing in rock clubs for 30 years. Like, after Nirvana, you know, finished when Kurt passed, it was like, all right, okay, like Dave Grohl's got a band. Oh, this could be interesting. I wonder what he's got to offer. And then it's like, fuck, what is this? This is incredible. Yeah. And it's like, that's the drummer singing, and it kicks ass. And it was like, I think the first single was This Is a Call, and then it was I'll Stick Around and Big Me, and it was like, I mean, one of the things, if you look at Nirvana, that like whatever they done, as punk and as fucking cool as it had pop sensibilities. Every one of their songs mm-hmm. was just full of hooks and full of melody, and you know, and Dave Grohl's bought that certainly in that first record to the Foo Fighters. And is he on the first album? Is there a track called Weenie Beanie on the first album, or is that on the second?
Yes.
Fuck, man, that record.
No. Or is Weenie Beanie on the second? I don't know. Oh, God.
What a tune that is, man.
Yeah, dude. There's, I remember there was this thing that was on MTV. Now, I like wasn't allowed to watch MTV or anything, but we had like this, you know, you could like dial in the channels.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You just needed like a precision screwdriver. So like once everybody went to bed, you know, I'd like creep out, right? And then like dial in. And they had this special, it was actually in, I like think they were playing Brixton. I'd have to go back and there was a song that they played that wasn't on the first record, but later was on, I think it was on The Color and Shape. But and it started out so, I mean, it was kind of like my introduction to jazz music, like, yeah. Which sounds ridiculous, but he was using these real like big chords, you know, like lush, and then or like full chords, I should say. And then like the things that they're like the little run that the bass was doing. And then I had never really listened to anything like that, so I didn't know, because up till that point it was all just like boot tap boot tap boot tap,
yeah,
you know, fast or heavy. So but then, man, well, Up in Arms, I was the one who let you, always coming back, I cannot forget. Talk about pop sensibility. I was the one who left you, always coming back, I cannot forget you, girl. It's like, oh, man. Good job, Dave. Keep up the good work. And then he did keep up the good work for years. He's still doing it now.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Okay. Well, look, from the record store, let's go clubbing. And I'm going to ask you for track 5, please, Adam, to tell me the song that soundtracked your time clubbing.
So there was... it's actually funny because I had to ask Emma, I'm like, when you say clubbing, do you mean like going out to clubs or do you mean like playing shows? Like
going out with your pals and yeah, having a drink and having a dance.
Well, I have one song that works for both, and it's Bombs Over Baghdad by The Outkast. And so anytime when we first started touring that we would be coming in back to New York, you know, you had to go through either Staten Island or one of the boroughs to get to Long Island. So.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Typically, we'd go through the tunnel, and anytime we'd get to the tunnel, like there, we'd have it queued up. So the second we went under or through that threshold, blast it, you know, hit play, and then we'd be like, we're almost home, oh my God, you know, that whole thing. And but also too, there was one of the things that really that I thought was just that blew my mind the first time we were able to go to the UK was that you guys had rock clubs, because we didn't, like, they're starting to have more of that now, but that just wasn't a thing. Yeah. Or if it was, I didn't know about it. Yeah. Over here. And then so that was another one that anytime we were out at like some kind of bar or something, and if that came on, it was guaranteed, like no one would even, you wouldn't even have to look towards the person that you're with like, hey, should we do this? It'd be like, no, everybody would just, you'd hear it, you get up, you go, you do your thing, then you go, you sit back, you get back to business, you know?
The energy on that tune is insane, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's just so like forward, like it's like forward motion too.
Exactly.
Like, and what's amazing about that too, all analog, which yes. I know isn't, but there's if you like, there's nothing even about that record in general that was too sharp. Or and not sharp as in like sharp or flat, but sharp as in like pointy, like stabby.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just something about, I like think when you have something that's has that forward motion, and then, or like, because there's that dreamy kind of piano that happens, that be do do do, like right before the count in, and it, I almost feel like in someone else's hands, you know, that would have been like real kind of harsh and like jarring, but it all just flows together so well. It's like it always existed, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to take you home. I want a favorite song from an artist from your home county, please, Adam.
So there was, it's hard for me to remember song titles, and I would have to go through up in the attic. I'd have to like go through some boxes to like find the cassettes and CDs, you know, from back then. But in High Point, where I grew up, there were these two bands. One was called 30 Deep, and they were like maybe 3 or 4 years ahead of me, like in school. And one was called Pest, and they were 2 years ahead of me in school. And they were kind of like, they would put on shows. So they were doing like the DIY thing. And then, so they would put post or like flyers, you know, that they made, like at key, or like at the school copy machine, whatever, like all over this, like all over. So I saw that, and that was like the first time I'd ever seen like a concert poster. You know, that's what I thought a concert poster was for a long time. And then I wasn't allowed really to go to shows or anything when I was younger. So I would, you know, you do the thing of like, oh yeah, I'm going to stay over at my buddy's house. See you guys later. And then sneak and go to the shows. But they were like, those were two of the bands that I watched the most at that time. And that was a real pivotal, like real important time, I think, for shaping what later became just my taste in general, even to now. So I got to credit those two bands, though I can't remember any song titles. I'm so sorry. I just ruined your whole podcast. I'm sorry.
I mean, Adam, you spoke about seeing, you know, being young and seeing these kids that are, you know, a few years older than you, putting these like photocopied posters up in, you know, in school and stuff. And for me, you know, when I was growing up and, you know, way back doing bands and stuff, and, you know, going down the shop, printing off these posters and going and sticking them up and cutting out little flyers and handing them out to like anybody that was interested. And there was never any money, and there was, you know, and it was all for just trying to get something going and moving. And I look back now and I think they're some of the most fun times you can have being in a band, just them early days of learning it and doing it all for the first time. Was that your experience, like just first time round, just being all to be played for and exciting?
Yes. Yeah. There was, I mean, like, that was like for like a long time, I didn't even go to any shows that weren't kind of in that realm, you know, like in that world, which I think was good and bad. Bad because like I wouldn't listen to anything if it wasn't like punk, and it was so stupid for like so long. Like I didn't start listening to Led Zeppelin until I was like 23. And I just missed out on a lot. I was like late to the game because of that mentality. But also there was, I really liked, I think it instills something in you early on, like be it like there's like a definite kind of like, just kind of like code of ethics and this thing of like all right, we're probably not going to get help from anybody else, so we're just going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And like that's how we approached everything, and in a lot of ways that's, we still do that. You know, when it comes to certain situations, and then so I'm like really grateful that I lived in an area that like had something like that. Sure. You know, because that was I kind of credit that to just who I am.
Yeah.
Today.
Wonderful. It's your last track and you get to be a tastemaker, or as the kids call it, influencer, and for track 7, Adam, I'm going to ask you to tell me a song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear.
So, there is this artist, he goes by the name Dijon, and there's a few friends that I have that I've told about him, that they've been instantly hooked. And so, because I'll tell anybody who will listen about the, like, he's incredible. His recordings are like, there's, you can hear a lot of the room, like a lot of the space that he's in. And through that, there's like a lot of just kind of general, like across the board rules that he's immediately breaking right out of the gate. And I love that aspect of about it, because it just goes to prove, like, hey, like, you don't have to, there's no one way to do anything, man. Like, you do you, and you do what you think sounds good, and you do what empowers you.
Yeah.
And then other people get on board. It might take them a while, but so he has this song called Many Times, and it's faster, upbeat. But there's just kind of the same way to where there's like a lot of like the room in his recordings, like a lot of the sounds, it's like not the typical, like it's not the first thing I would ever think to put like in the places to where he put it. So immediately, yeah, like it grabs me in that sense. But I think for like, if you're at, you're at the house, you got some people over, you already had dinner, you know, the night feels like it might be winding down, but you're not done. You want to keep going. What do you put on? Many Times by Dijon, because it's just, it's just an, it's an incredible song. Also, on the flip side of that, you're having people over at the house, things are kind of winding down, maybe it's like two groups of people that don't really know one another, and then like you're trying to like, hey guys, you could be friends too, because you're friends with me and you're friends with me and I think you're cool, you know, like that whole thing. There's this other song called The Dress, slow jam, beautiful. It's like he's oh, I don't want to go into what I think it's about, but because it's pretty clear, but there there's just a feeling that I get when I listen to his record and that those two songs are on, that like it's like it takes me to another place. You know how it just, when you hear something and then like it immediately, there's like something, like it just immediately gets inside of you and like, yeah, boop, 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 like presses all the right buttons. Yeah. That's what this guy does for me. Wonderful. So he's called Dijon, and it, and like the whole genre thing, I think is always tricky, and I'm like, I hate to put anything in a box because it sucks, but if I had to, I would say like it's kind of like this indie R&B almost, and then but there's elements, but there's definitely, you can tell he grew up listening to a lot of like faster or like what would be considered like punk, and then you could also tell he grew up listening to like, I mean, there's like some little bit of kind of like Bonnie Raitt in there, and then there's also like this like kind of something that would exist, I think, easily next to like Belle Biv DeVoe or Jodeci or something like that. So it's like all these things, and he just squished them all together, and there's this beautiful record.
I love the connection as well, because the way that you've just described Dijon there, you could say exactly the same for Outkast, you know. If you look,
yes,
at like,
yeah, oh, 100%.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like everything that goes in the pot, yeah, to make Outkast, you know, they're not a straight up hip hop artist. Do you know what I mean?
No, they have, dude, and their reach is so long too, because you can just go like, it's impossible. I like feel to like sit down with one of their records, yeah, and say, oh, they're just this. It's,
yeah,
like, no way, dude. There's something for everybody.
Yeah.
And then some of your neighbors too on those. That was like the number one. I just read this thing like that the other day, and like the number one selling hip hop record ever, I think.
What? Speaker Box and the Love Below?
Love Below.
Wow.
I like think so. No, the one with Ah, shoot, I'm gonna have to Google it. I shouldn't have said anything.
What, the track with Hey Ya and like and Roses?
I think it might have been the record before that.
So that would have been
Stankonia.
Yeah. I mean, it figures. I mean, what a record.
Yeah, dude. It's like Miss Jackson. I mean, come on.
Well, Adam, we make it really easy for people to go and explore Dijon and everything else that we've spoken about today, because I put together a little Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast. And on that podcast will, of course, be your band. And so let's talk. We've been spending so long talking about other people's music. Let's talk about yours. What's happening, man? New record?
Yeah, new record coming out at the end of October. And I'm so pumped. There, I think that we were one. I'm one of the luckiest people you're ever going to meet because I've been able to do this for a long time, and it's not lost on me or any of us, you know, like just how fortunate we are to be in the position that we're in. And I think like with that, so there's like, you got years in your back pocket, you know, and I feel that we were very aware of the fact that like, okay, we could like, we're at a fork in the road here, you know, like we could go this way and just kind of keep doing what we've been doing and approach it like we've been approaching it, because if it ain't broke, you know, don't fix it. But there's also, and then so that's like the easy, comfortable kind of thing. And then, but there's this other thing of like, well, like if we go the easy, comfortable route that way, then we're not, nobody, like we're not going to feel good about it. So how about we just forget all that and forget all the years in our pockets, you know, let's take those out, put those away, and then just make something that's real true to who we all are right now. And I feel that, or that's kind of one of the things I'm really proud of with our band, is that like each record is this perfect snapshot of who we were like at that time. And this one is 152 is exactly that, you know, like I think that there's, for me, when I listen to it, I can hear just how much everybody's grown. You know, I can listen to Mark's drumming and be like, dude, like our second record, Where You Want to Be, had zero drum fills on it. Not one. This one is like, the drumming is just like, what the fuck has this guy been on, man? Like, he's been holding out. But it's the same thing with like Sean's bass playing too. Like there's things and just these choices and that he made that I've just never heard him do before. You know, like I, like we'd be in the studio and I'd be sitting in the other room, and it's almost like, and if he was tracking, the second I sat down, my ears would perk up and I'd get up and have to go in the room to like hear what was going on and watch it, you know? And that happens so many times. And then same with John, and I tried to do the same thing myself, you know, is just trying to like push and try to like represent, I mean, you know, these people that we've become and are becoming. And I think when I listen to the record as a whole now, that we did a real good job of that. Whether anybody else will think that or not, who knows, but I know it, and that's what counts.
Absolutely. And what about shows?
Shows. So we have like a few things that'll round out the end of this year. Like we're going a little bit after the record comes out, we'll be doing a few shows just where we'll be able to play it front to back, which is just one of my favorite things to do. And it's funny too, because typically that's like a little bit of a hard sell. Like I got to kind of like try to like get all salesman-y about it, you know, but it just wasn't a question this time around. Like everyone was like, yeah, we're doing that. Right. And so that made me real happy. And I think it speaks to like how we all are just real proud of the record. And then like quick run in Australia, there's a festival called the Good Things Festival. And then we do these holiday shows in New York and New Jersey every year. So we'll have that. And then into the next year, we'll just kind of be, I mean, you know, trying to go to as many places and get in front of as many people as possible. So hopefully that'll find us over your guys' way sometime next year.
Fantastic. Adam, it's been such a joy talking records with you, mate. I could talk for hours, mate.
Oh, same, dude. I could do this all day long. So I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your questions too. There normally, if there's like, we have like an interview or something on the schedule and someone sends like pre-questions, I'm like, oh god. But this, like the second that I looked, I was like, oh oh, this is just what I talk about all the time. Anyway, this is amazing. And then, so thank you for the, I appreciate the, or just your show. It's great.
Oh,
so
thank you for having me. Thank you so much. Look, I'm going to press stop now, but don't go anywhere. I mean, I've said it before, previous guests, but what a delightful human. I have the best job. I literally, this is a hobby, right? You know, there's not a lot of pennies being put in the pot on this podcast, but I get to have wonderful chats with wonderful people, and it's a lovely little escape for an hour. And the fact that I then get to throw it out there and you lot put it in your ear rolls is just an absolute bonus. Thanks hugely to Em for setting this up. Em's been so important in this podcast, and I'm going to shout her out more because she basically organised my first episode, the episode with Chuck D from Public Enemy. And the moment that happened, all of a sudden other artists and agents started approaching me. Up until then, I'd been like chasing everybody to get them to come on. And after I had Chuck D on, I think people took this podcast a lot more seriously. And all of a sudden, I found myself on sort of mailing lists of PR companies that would reach out and offer me guests. And Em's been, you know, so good with other guests that she's put on this podcast. So big love always to Emma. And very much so for today's chat. We stuck about chatting afterwards, and me, Emma, and Adam, and what an absolute delight he was. Go check out the new record, and get along to one of them shows next year when they find themselves in the UK. Other than that, I'll be back next time. Go check out the Patreon and support the podcast. All links are at offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Like I said, I'm back next time. And in the meantime, be nice to one another. Love you lots. Bye-bye.